Turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel. In chapter 25. Chapter 25. I understand that my dear brother, Dr. Shepherd, used this scripture last night. I had to go away, so I was not privileged to hear him. But I feel inclined to read this chapter again. The 25th chapter of Matthew. I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I fear that would rob us of too much time, so we'll read portions of it and maybe speak about all of it. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Verse 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." I suppose over a long Christian life, I must have read this chapter 100 times, maybe 200 times. And certainly I've preached from it dozens of times. And I say, maybe ashamedly, that I find it difficult to know what it's about. Certainly one has to read it with the previous chapter or chapters. But it's not my desire today, even though I've read many commentaries on it, to deal with the chapter either in a dispensational aspect or in the light of Christian progress or in any of these ways that one has heard it propounded either in writings or by word of mouth in past times. I want to look at it and see if there are any lessons from it which might be useful for us today. In other words, I don't want to look at the chapter in an interpretive way, but to apply it, because I think there are useful lessons in the 25th chapter of Matthew, which we can all learn. I find it a fascinating chapter, probably because I don't understand it. Now, we all know about the 10 virgins. And what I have said about them before, probably many others have said as well. These 10 virgins all looked the same. There was no doubt about it that they were all virgins. Therefore, they were all marked by a measure of separation. There is no doubt about it that they all went forth to meet the bridegroom. It says so. And if I had read further on, they all heard the midnight cry. They all trimmed the lamps, and they all went forth. As I was looking at this chapter some weeks ago, I noticed something that you've noticed, no doubt, but which I hadn't noticed before. I noticed that there was a perceptible difference between the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. There was something that you could perceive. They weren't all the same. 5 of them had vessels with the lamps. There was a discernible difference between the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. 5 of them were equipped with vessels as well as their lamps, in which they had oil. Now, this is a chapter, of course, of reckonings. It's a chapter of reckonings. And I want to say to you, my dear brethren, and particularly you young ones in the gallery, that we must not forget that there are to be reckonings. There will be a day of reckoning. Paul makes it abundantly clear that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we've been up to while we've been here. And so this is a chapter of reckonings. I make no apologies for this. And again, I must use brethren words, this subjective ministry. It's not because I don't know the new words. Of course I know the new words. It's not because I haven't been anywhere, I've been everywhere. It's because I can't find better words than the old brethren words. So I make no apologies for the fact that we're now talking subjectively. We've had a wonderful reading this morning on the 2nd chapter of Colossians. A heartwarming, soul-stirring, spirit-reviving reading on the 2nd chapter of Colossians, pointing us to where all our treasure is. It's in that blessed man that sits at the right hand of God. But this afternoon I'd like to start our meeting with one or two challenges, because it's all right sitting in Bible readings talking about the riches that we have in Christ. It's all right sitting in Bible readings talking about the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in the human person of Jesus. That's right, and filled my soul with delight. But you know, there's to be practical responses to all this, and to be seen in our order, in our assemblies and in our meetings, to be seen in our walk here as we move amongst our fellows, as we move amongst our brethren. Now, these 5 virgins that were called wise, they had vessels with oil in. Now, there may be, I've had considerable conversation with young people over the years in our companies, and there may be some confusion in the minds of many as to where they ought to go to meet for their Christian meetings. Some have even said to me, well, I think we ought to go to the Baptists. There's more going on there. Some have come to the readings and said, well, we've heard it all before. It's so boring. And so I find that amongst many of the young, and maybe the older ones too, who knows, the Lord knows, some difficulty to know where we ought to meet. Well, I'm going to look at these five wise virgins, and I'm going to say to you that these five wise virgins had vessels with oil in. Now, can you recognize five wise virgins with vessels with oil in? If you do, you ought to be with them. You ought to be with them. Oh yes, the five foolish ones had gone out, that heard the cry, had gone out to meet the bridegroom. On the face of it, they were separate, and they were marked by all kinds of things that marked the wise ones. But what they didn't have were vessels with oil in them. I want you to take account, my dear brethren, and young brethren particularly, of where the virgins are that have got the oil in their vessels with oil in them. Because they're the ones you ought to be with. Because they're the ones that go in. Thank God, we're numbered amongst those who are going to go in. The door's going to be shut. But I can tell you as I stand here that I'm going to go in. I'm going to go in. The five wise, they went in. And they went in with the bridegroom. And the door was shut. It was no good the five unwise coming along afterwards and knocking on the door and saying, let us in, let us in. Look, we look just like the five that have gone in. We've got the right garments on. We've been separate. They didn't have lamps that would burn because they didn't have vessels with oil in them. You find the ones with the vessels with the oil in, and they're the ones you should be with. You should be with the ones that have got vessels with oil in. They're discernible. I remember when I was a young man, I was saved when I was 18. I wasn't brought up amongst brethren. And I remember for the first two and a half years of my Christian life, I went to the Christian Fellowship, I went to the Pentecostals, I went here and I went there and I went everywhere. Because I didn't know where to go. And one, I'd been passing the door of a place on a Sunday morning to get to what was called the Christian Fellowship, where I used to go. And I passed the door and I used to watch these gentlemen and these ladies going in to this room, sober looking people, you know. And as I passed the door and watched them go in, I said, well, they look right to me. I don't know what goes on inside there, but I'm going to go in there. And I went in. It was a place called the Vane Hall, known to many, now knocked down. When I got into the room, it was my first morning meeting. I was there, brethren, because I'd found those that had vessels with oil in. And I had no doubt whatever. And so the mercy of God, that's 50 years ago nearly, I've been going along with those that have got vessels with oil in. And I want to go along with them till the shout is heard again and the bridegroom comes and we go in. Are you going to go in? Well, I'm going to go in. I'm going to go in. So now let's pass on to the other little one. Wonderful chapter, 25th of Matthew. You could spend weeks on it trying to find out what it means. Now we've got a man travelling into a far country and he calls his servants. I might say that what we've been speaking about is the collective thing. I won't use any other fancy words. The collective thing. It's where you're going to find yourself with the people of God. And it's very important that you find yourself with the people of God. I say to you, young people, keep amongst the brethren. Keep amongst the brethren. There was a dear brother said to me when I was a young man in Levain Hall, he was called Balsden. I don't suppose anybody remembers him. He was a clergyman, the Reverend Balsden. He left the church and he'd come amongst the brethren. Reginald Balsden. He sat on the back of a motorbike with me and we toured the Northumberland villages giving tracts out. That's the kind of clergyman he was. He'd become a real evangelical. And he attached himself to a young man with a motorbike and we gave tracts out. And this dear brother, he said to me, he said, Charles, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, never, never leave the brethren. Keep hold of their coattails. And I say that to you young people here today. Hold on to the coattails of the brethren. Dear Balsden didn't. He went back and found himself a pulpit in the Church of England. But I say you keep hold of the coattails of the brethren. And now that's the collective thing. Now a few minutes on the others. I won't be long. Now here is the question of the man that's going into a far country. And he calls his servants. And he gives one of them 5 talents, and he gives another 2 talents, and he gives another 1. I'm not going to tell you what the talents are. You know. You know. I don't need to tell you what the talents are. And the man with 5 talents, when the Lord came back, he produced another 5. And the man with 2 talents, when he came back, he produced another 2. The answer was the same. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. The day of reckoning had come, and what was the answer? To enter into the joy of the Lord. Whether it was 5 or 2, they were given according to their measure. God doesn't ask you to do what you can't do. Never does. He's made you. He's formed you. You may be a 5-talent man, or you may be a 2-talent man. He certainly doesn't tell us here about a no-talent man. There isn't a no-talent man here. There was a 1-talent man. And this is where the test comes. This is where the test comes. What does the 1-talent man do? Maybe I'm a 1-talent man. What have I got to do? Well, the 1-talent man, he looked at the talent, and he said, well, I'd better bury it. He'll be coming back, and he'll be saying to me, my master, what have you done with the 1 talent? I'll bury it. And when he comes back, I'll be able to say, there you are. Nothing's happened to it. It's just as you gave it to me. You can have it back. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. We may be all 1-talent people. What are we going to do? You know, burying it in the earth, it speaks to me of nature. If there's 1 thing going to stop you from using whatever God's given you, I can't tell you what it is. You will know what God's given you. He's given you something which you can use for himself. Something that belongs to him, he's given you which you can use for himself. It may be a valuable. Maybe you can speak. It may be that you're a patient helper in something. It may be that you're even only a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. He's given you a talent. You've got something. Now, if there's 1 thing that can put that talent out of action, it's nature. Nature. The things of nature. As one brother said, long gone home to be with his Lord, one of the old faithfuls, he said, it's not the world that the Christians have to be most frightened about, it's nature. Is it easier for you to stay at home and watch the telly than to go out to a meeting? Can you not get up in the morning because it's better to lie in bed rather than go out and use your talent, whatever it is, when God directs you? Is it easier for you to say, well, I'm not really very strong. I'm not like so-and-so. He's got a great big body. And he's strong, but I'm weak. I can't. Nature. Do you say to yourself, but oh, my children, you know, they have to be done this with and that with. I couldn't possibly get out to help Mrs. So-and-so today, which I normally do because the children are on holiday and they'll have to go to the baths. Perfectly natural. I tell you this, it's a hindrance to the use of your talent. And you have to make a reckoning, because God's going to make a reckoning of what you've done with what God has given you. And you've all been given something. There isn't a no-talent man in this. So you see, as I say, I make no apologies for this subjective word. I think we need it in the closing day, because the whole chapter is based against the background of the Lord's coming. And you know he's coming. The Lord's coming. I don't need to point to world affairs. You know all about world affairs. Is there anyone in the room that doesn't really believe that the Lord's coming? I don't think so. I think the people of God understand quite clearly that the coming of the Lord is imminent. He's going to come. He's going to come soon. I can't tell you when. Who can? But you can watch events, and the whole chapter is based on the fact that the Master is going to come back. The bridegroom is going to be called, is going to be married to the bride. And the servants are going to go in. So watch what you're doing with your talents. You're going to have to make a reckoning on what you do with your talents. Now lastly, As I said, I can't talk about it dispensationally. I could probably if I'd read the commentaries lately, but I haven't. Now, what about the Lord's people? What about the Lord's people? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Before him shall be gathered all the nations. And what's the test? It's the same test that's going to be applied to you. What have you done about those who are linked on with you, who are needy and troubled and bewildered? What are you doing about? Nothing? Nothing? If you're doing nothing about them, that means you're doing nothing about the Lord who bought you. Because here you find in this last portion that I read, that when they asked the Lord, when saw we naked? When saw we naked and didn't clothe you? When saw we thirsty and didn't give you to drink? He says, as much as you've done it unto one of these, the least of these my little ones, you've done it unto me. You must highly prize the people of God. That you must highly prize those for whom Christ has died, and particularly those whom God has linked you on with in your local company. You must highly prize them. There must be not one of them who are in distress or need or want spiritually or materially that you're not concerned about. Because if you're not concerned about them, it means you're not concerned about the man that died for you on Calvary's cross and gave his all. Oh, that God might grant us, dear brethren, to see that in the last and closing day of the church's history, that there's much required of us, much we've been given. This morning's reading indicated this, the immensity of all that we have in Christ, the largeness of that which is ours, and the Lord's coming, and much will be required of us. Because there is a day of reckoning. There is always a day of reckoning. Thank God we'll never have to reckon for our sins. The penal judgment of God fell upon Jesus at Calvary. And our sins are washed away. I hope yours are. If there's anyone in this room who haven't had their sins washed away in the precious blood of Jesus, let me tell you now that it's a must. It's not optional. You have to have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus. If you don't have your sins washed away, my friend, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those who are numbered amongst those who are going to go in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Those who are with those with oil in the vessels. Those who have known what to do with their talents. You've got them. God's given to them. You took them to you. You know what they are. And my dear friend and brethren, you've got to know what you're doing about the people of God with whom you're intimately linked, because there's going to be a day of reckoning.